Okay. Joining me now in the studio are Patrick Grant and Peter Murray, who are both local residents from the Phibsborough area. There were some recent submissions made to Dublin City Council in regard to the local area plan for the Phibsborough area, and Patrick and Peter both have some concerns that have arisen out of the proposals that are being put out there. So I'd like to welcome them both to the studio. Welcome in, Peter, and welcome, Patrick. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Patrick, you contacted us here in the station, and you've put together a very good document. I've read it several times. It's very interesting. And you start off by saying that you broadly agree with the submissions that were made, but you have reservations.
Yeah, I think the major reason why I have a reservation is the traffic issue. I mean, already in the at the centre of Phibsborough, you've got almost 50,000 cars per working day over a 24-hour period. And these are based on Dublin City Council figures themselves. Uh-huh. They're not made up. So it seems to me that with that rate of cars, and remember, two-thirds of those vehicles are commuter traffic. They're not stopping in Phibsborough. Uh-huh. We've already had a fish shop, one and only fish shop, in the closing down because uh-huh. there's a double yellow line outside it. And any future plan for the development of Phibsborough has to take this into account.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're talking about Doyle's Corner, yeah?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, which, I mean, anybody who's transited Dublin at any stage has probably gone through Doyle's Corner and it know very well. And it is, and at peak times especially, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you don't feel that, you know, the proposals being put forward for the redevelopment of the Phibsborough area have taken into account the volume of traffic and the volume of commuter traffic.
Correct.
That goes through the area. It's actually the commuter traffic is having a negative effect.
Yes, it is. And now they're proposing to add a development in the old Smurfit buildings, and that will add something like 1,000 cars at least to this traffic.
Yeah.
So again, this has not been taken into account.
Yeah. So it's Peter, your views on the traffic down there, would it be similar to Patrick's? Yeah.
Yes, I think the tackling the traffic is you know, I mean, the local area plan, partly, you know, it was about having a vision for a renewed, reinvigorated mm-hmm. Phibsborough area, and that was to do with the development of sites that are becoming available, that have become redundant, etc., and are available for redevelopment. And it was also about enhancing the environment of the area to make it a good place to live in. And the traffic is a chronic issue. It's a critical issue. The you know, it's very difficult for pedestrians to cross the road. It's
yeah.
very difficult for people to cycle or walk safely. And the environment is degraded, and it's very difficult for businesses to thrive and survive in an environment where you've just got a traffic tunnel, where that's just a throughput of commuter traffic, who, you know, people just want to get through the area as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
that's how we facilitate them.
Sorry for talking across you there, but that's the thing Patrick was saying there. I mean, there are a lot of businesses down there trying very hard to survive. But as you say, if we want to pull in at the Spar and run in and get a litre of milk, it's not easily done.
No, it puts the emphasis as well on the existing shopping centre, which mm-hmm. has parking facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that may or may not come out of Dublin City Council's plan for the area.
Mm-hmm.
That the shopping area would be in that location. The alternative shopping location is to develop down, as I mentioned before, in the old Smurfit site.
Yeah. Like a completely brand new shopping centre.
Completely brand new.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know what the legalities are down around, especially the shopping centre. I mean, we were talking just before we started there with Peter, before you came in. I mean, that shopping centre hasn't changed in what, 40 years?
Correct.
Since it was built.
Actually, there's an anniversary event coming up, I think, in October. It's I think, the 50th anniversary of the the application that went in to build it. So it's one of the first, I think, shopping centres in the country. And it's pretty, you know, it's in a pretty shocking state.
Yeah, well, I've vague memories of it as a boy, and it was brand new then, state of the art. I think the only other shopping centre was probably Northside Shopping Centre here. Okay, Patrick, well, the traffic volumes of cars are obviously an issue, but, I mean, there is a problem in the Phibsborough area that we can't just go widening roads and putting in, so how do you solve?
Well, the traffic problem in Phibsborough, it's a problem for us, but also it is a major difficulty for the entire city.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look beyond Phibsborough for a solution, and it can be taken in isolation. But that is a major drawback for the future development of Phibsborough. And one of the factors that has emerged over the past number of years has been, I now consider myself part and parcel of Phibsborough.
Mm-hmm.
The process started, one of the starting points of the process was to identify the centre of Phibsborough.
Yeah.
I never thought about the centre of Phibsborough before.
Yeah.
But now I am proud to be part of this area. And as Peter said, I want to see it developed for my children and my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've Dublin City Council here and you've got these revised plans. And I believe there's a meeting coming up next month where some decisions are going to be made. So obviously there is a plan to put some sort of development into the Phibsborough area or to redevelop the Phibsborough area. But do you see that as it's probably the plans aren't looking long term enough?
I think if we maybe step back a little to look at where the plan came from and what it is might be useful. The plan is basically it's now about to expire. It expires in October, so it's had a 6-year lifetime and was adopted by the City Council back in 2008. Now the background to it, I suppose there were two sets of backgrounds.
Yeah.
One, there were a couple of big proposals coming out of the government to build the Children's Hospital on the Mater site and to remove Mount Joy out to somewhere in North County Dublin, Thornton Hall,
that's right, yeah.
Right, so that was one thing. Now, there was also a big wave of speculative planning applications. The Dublin City Council had designated Phibsborough as a prime urban centre, and this set off a wave of applications from people who thought it would be a great place to, you know, stack apartments high and sell them dear. And there was an application for the shopping centre which got permission, but that permission has now lapsed. It was never used, and the shopping centre is owned by NAMA, so we don't know what's happening there, obviously. There was also the bakery site, you know, Cross Guns Bridge. There's an old mill apartment building there, and behind it there's a redundant bakery, and the plan was to build apartments there. Again, these would be very high apartments looming up over the canal, putting it in darkness, and also putting people in the two-story houses
absolutely.
In Leinster Street and Jandon into the gloom. So people fought those very hard. There was also then, connected to the shopping centre, there was whether Dalyman Park was going to be sold or not, and a very complicated thing. So people were very concerned, and Hedigan's Pub at one stage was going to be demolished and replaced by a hideous block and then apartments and things. So there was also all these things were coming along, and people really thought, you know, this is terrible. Let's look for something that will give a coherent overall plan, and you know, to change the area. And eventually we got the City Council. The councillors were very helpful to us, and we got the City Council to give us a local area plan. Now, a local area plan is the strongest kind of plan. It has statutory force. Any planning application in an area where there is a plan has to take account of what the plan says.
Yeah.
So And so from our point of view, what it did was there was a deal, I suppose you could say. The development would go ahead on these sites, which were, you know, which were, I suppose, redundant in some cases, or certainly were ripe for redevelopment. But it would, you know, the upside from our point of view was, first of all, there would be community gain. There would be new community facilities, library, school, meeting hall, sports centre, etc. These were to be provided in the area.
Yeah.
And also there were restrictions on height, so that the idea that, you know, that that you could take you know, some an area with two-story terrace houses and stick some
15-story building
beside it was not on. So that was that's really what the plan dealt with. Now, actually, very little happened, partly because of the, you know, the crash,
the bubble burst.
Bubble burst. The government decided the hospital plan didn't go ahead. The Board Planola turned down the application because it would destroy the city's skyscape. Mm-hmm. Not to talk about the local skyscape. The prison stayed put, and commercial development by and large has subsided, though it's coming back on stream now. So nothing much has happened during the plan, and now it's about to die. Now the City Council officials basically wanted to get rid of it, to revoke it, throw it in the wastepaper bin. The councillors and the local residents have fought to keep it and amend it. So the City Council this month is about to unveil its amended proposals.
I see.
And we're a bit worried about what those amendments would be. I think that probably brings us up to where we're at at the moment.
And it makes it a lot clearer. Mm-hmm. Because there may be a fear then that we certainly are seeing in Dublin, we're starting to move towards, property prices are starting to increase. There's certainly a push on to build homes and build them fast. And would one of your fears then be that fast financial gain is one of the driving forces behind the new plan?
I would think so. Very much. And the new development that is proposed for housing for the Smurfit site bears no relationship to the need for Dublin to have affordable housing or social housing at the very bottom level. This appears to be an upmarket, gated community.
Yeah.
I was just listening to a radio program earlier this morning, and it had armed policemen or armed civilians, private, working for private firms, guarding rich men's property in South Africa. Hope to heavens we never have that in Ireland.
Well, we might be a bit of a ways from there, but you know, you would never write anything up. So this plan's coming about. You've highlighted your fears, especially that, you know, Dublin City Council may be looking to expedite some sort of...
Actually, can I just give you... Patrick referred to the Printwork site. Now, in the plan has that as basically mixed development. And it's also... the site has... there's two parts to it, one of which is they're owned by two different owners. One, the northern half of it is staying as is. It's still a working kind of industrial commercial site.
Mm-hmm.
The southern part is what is now, there's an application about to go in for it. There have been some preliminary discussions with the planners and the local community in Iona, who joins us, have been given some information about it. Now, it's clear from this information, we don't know whether it's going to be gated or not, but it's certainly going to be purely a housing development.
Yeah.
With a very small commercial element. And one of the things, the plan puts a school site onto there. It says that there's a school to be provided. The developers are saying no school. There's no need for a school. It may be in the plan, but you know, we're not going to provide it. Now, they must be getting a nod and a wink from the City Council if they're going down this route. They you know, the City Council says that we've had pre-application discussions and we've told them what's in the plan and that they need to take account of the plan. But the way the developers are talking, they expect the plan to be changed so that they do not have to provide any community gain on the site. They can just, you know, roll out the housing.
Which stinks highly of the bad old days.
How
we got into trouble in the first place, because we had all of these housing estates and housing complexes getting thrown up. No shops, no schools, no amenities for the community at all. And that would be very alarming, you would imagine, because if we're going back down that road, and as you were saying, this Smurfit site, it sounds to me like it's going to be developed for the property developer to sell homes at a very high price. And there's
I mean, because you're right next to, say, Iona and Lindsay Road, and those are obviously well-known, prestigious, high-profile places.
I could imagine it's a fairly desirable, even I'd imagine to buy one of the existing houses down there is going to cost you a few bob, so yeah.
A fair few bobs.
Okay, well, Patrick, some of the submissions that you sent in, and I think you made, was it six separate points you made, and... for the reasons why you think some of the things you think that DCC should be considering. You mentioned the retail, of course, where retail is struggling to survive because it's not somewhere where you just stop and saunter around the shops, unless, as you say, you get into the shopping centre car park or you park further away and walk in, and it's just so much easier to drive 5 minutes down the road and park in the oil, like, you know. Mm. So retail is certainly going to suffer. Open spaces, recreation, stuff like that. I mean, again, from somebody who just kind of frequents in an office, I don't know there's an awful lot of recreation space or green space down there.
Well, there are a few good things in Phibsborough. Mm-hmm. Well, you have the canal, first of all, which is obviously an underdeveloped amenity.
Yes.
It's getting better. It has more potential. There's the Blessington Street Basin, again, which a beautiful facility, and you have a sort of the old canal harbour, which comes off just alongside the prison and runs down to the Broadstone station.
Yeah.
Again, that can be could be developed further. In particular, if they unblocked, there's a blockage. They filled in the bridge.
I remember,
Blackwire Bridge.
Yeah.
If you unblocked that, you could have people walking and cycling under a road that is very difficult to cross.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and it'd be a wonderful amenity. And the plan says that should be done. The City Council hasn't done anything about it.
Yeah.
One of the sources of frustration to us. A third thing is the Mount Bernard Park, which is up close to the canal and the sort of Shandon area. And that, well, when the Lewis line comes up through town and on out to Liffey Junction, that's going to be expanded, and it's obviously going to be, at the moment, it adjoins a wasteland that CIE have done nothing with over the last 40 or 50 years, but that's going to change when Lewis comes along. So there are some positive things that could be
developed. I was going to say, on the positive, the redevelopment of the Grange Garment site is carrying on apace as we speak, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's going to have a major effect on Phibsborough.
Yeah.
I've emphasised things that are wrong with Phibsborough, but as Peter said, there's an awful lot that is right with it.
Yeah.
And it could be a great place to rear a family. And this is what we want to do. But I'd like to see the corporation not being an instrumental unit that delivers public good at the lowest possible cost, but provides a service to the people of the city.
Yeah.
Okay, put the emphasis on cost reduction, but provides a service to us.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you talk about you talked about there, like the canals and everything else. I mean, that I would imagine for a fairly minimum amount of investment, you could create a wonderful tourist centre, a wonderful park, especially where, you know, we get so many people. I was in Croke Park 2 weeks ago for the American football, and there was something like 40,000 Americans here. And something like a wander up the canal to a nice park, to the basin or whatever, as you say, would have huge benefits tourism-wise for the country and for the city. So, you know, and I would imagine that in the times we're in, lots of people looking for work, there's definitely a road you could go down there where you could be providing employment, creating a wonderful tourist attraction and tourist area, and it would benefit everybody. And, you know, it seems, as we spoke about, is unfortunately we're at a point now where the plan is to let's build houses, mm-hmm. let's build houses. I mean, the Taoiseach went on record recently as saying we built 3,000 homes in Dublin last year, we need to be building 90,000. I mean, that sounded to me like, hey, Israeli developers, let's go. There's the green flag on down on that, let's charge into it. And, you know, for want to avoid repeating it, but yeah, it seems like let's build a house, and we're going to forget about everything else. And you know, communities like yourself, yeah, let's say right, we're not going to have that. So some of the other things, as you said, Patrick, you know, we started off talking about the traffic. We can't widen the roads down there. Public transport is, I would imagine, at saturation point down there anyway. I mean, there's any number of buses queuing up going through Doyle's Corner too. So, you know, transport-wise or traffic-wise, it's very hard to see how that can be resolved without maybe widening maybe the HGV that they have in the city centre. But, I mean, there's businesses down there. They have to do business. They need trucks and lorries and all to get in.
There are, I think, a couple of things on the public transport front.
Yeah.
Obviously, one is the Lewis.
The Lewis, yeah.
Now, obviously, the Lewis is going to come up through an area where, you know, once it gets to Broadstone, once it gets, you know, the whole city centre's been dug up at the moment. But once it gets to Broadstone, it goes past the station and in through the CIE bus park. And at the end of that bus park, there's two big gates, and then there's this railway cutting that has been disused for the last 50 years since the Broadstone ceased to be the terminus for the Midland and Great Western Railway. You know, so that has gone to rack and ruin.
Yeah,
that whole area of land, CIE have done nothing with it. Now the RPA will take it over. They'll run their tracks through it, and hopefully they'll restore the environment all the way up to, you know, Liffey Junction and Broom Bridge, which is an absolute scandal. You know, that's an awful. The railway station's in an awful state.
It's
unmanned, unsafe, and everything. So that whole area will be lifted by the Lewis.
Yeah,
and hopefully, the canal will benefit, because the canal is surrounded by land that CIE neglects on both sides, and what you can do with the canal is limited by, you know, what CIE is doing around it. So hopefully that'll lift it. The other thing is, Phibsger has a lot of railways going through it, and it benefits very little from them.
Yes.
Now, there's a plan, and a very good plan, to open the Phoenix Park Tunnel that links Houston with Connolly. It's there. It's just, and the railway users,
that would seem like a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, people have been saying it for ages now. CIE have been unenthusiastic about it, but finally the transport planners seem to be down on the side of it. But at the moment they're just talking about, you know, commuter traffic coming into Houston and Connolly will be able to switch from one to the other.
Yeah,
they're not talking about it, but the people who live or the areas that are situated along that line. Now, if you open a station, it's not a very long line, but if you open a station at Phibsborough, not alone do you link Connolly and Houston, but you link with the Maynooth line, the line going west through Maynooth to Longford and Sligo. People could get, you know, people could change, switch there and do it. So it's a real natural sort of junction point, which should be opened, and which would bring local benefit and much wider benefit if it was used. And you know, given that's going to happen, that station should happen. Also, between Broom Bridge and Drumcondra is the longest stretch in the city which has no station. You usually have a station about once every kilometre within the built-up urban area. But this is, I think it's 2 or 3, I think it may be 4 kilometres. But it is a very long stretch with nothing there. And the area has all these railway lines that block up mobility for locally. Give no benefit to the locality. Yeah. And they could so easily. And this is the time to do it.
I'm just curious where you would envisage a station in Phibsborough.
Well, they're just across the essentially the northern side of the canal, across from the old bakery, close to Hedigan's Pub.
Just near Crossgowns Bridge there.
Right beside Crossgowns Bridge. Yeah,
and by linking that station with the existing one down in Drumcondra, suddenly the airport also becomes part and parcel of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's amazing for a modern capital city that there's no rail link to the airport. Yeah. I mean, I know that's a different conversation that we could have. But looking forward now, and, you know, I said at the start, Patrick, you did absolutely, you know, as you said, you agree with the umbrella submissions that were made, and you're excited that at least people are looking at them. Do you feel that your concerns will be listened to, and do they have a lot of support in the area from local groups?
Well, I would reckon that in terms of support, we're going to be reacting to what Dublin City Council proposed,
mm-hmm.
and we will see what comes out of it.
Yeah.
We have our own views in it, but the track record, unfortunately, of DCC is rather poor. They appear to be fixated on earning money,
yeah.
and the development levies that come mm-hmm. out, and there doesn't appear to be a vision for the development of our area for our people.
Mm. So, but basically, and you know, we don't have Dublin City Council here to kind of reiterate or to kind of have their own say on it. But yeah, it would appear from what you're telling me and from what we're seeing is that, you know, fast financial gain is what's the driving force of this.
It appears to be.
How much money can we make and how quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they leave it up to private developers, and they, you know, they look to get levies off of private developers. So they want to see the thing roll forward, and with as little sort of obstruction or hassle as possible. But you know that that leaves the community gain that's written into the plan in peril. You asked about interest in it. There was a coalition of local groups. I think about a dozen groups of residents' associations came together. To campaign for the plan, and you know, when it was originally, the plan incidentally won an award when it was presented to Eamon Costello.
What was it? 2008 was it?
2008. It was the first. Actually, this is something that people in other areas should be watching as well, because it was the first local area plan to be adopted in the Dublin City Council area. I think there may be 8 or 9 of them now, but there's quite a number, and it's the first to come up for renewal. So this is one that people should be watching if they've got local area plans, and their lifetime is going to run out.
Yeah.
They should be watching what's happening in Phibsborough for pointers as to what will happen to them.
I suppose you know that this is the future now, and certainly in the Dublin area, where we seem, as I said, we seem to be getting to a point now where we're starting to look to start building stuff again. And yeah, you're probably right.
I think we are in favour of building. I mean, nobody's anti-housing.
Yes.
Nobody says we don't need housing.
Yeah.
I mean, we had nearly 100,000 units. Now, we were building in places like Leitrim and Longford.
Yeah.
You know, really stupid places. Well,
you're putting 3-hour commutes on people.
Absolutely.
Six-hour commute a day,
But that was a feast. Then we went to a famine. We were building nothing. Now we find there's no houses for people. Surprise. But, you know, we need somewhere in between. You know, the number of houses we need to be building a steady volume of maybe 25, 30 houses a year. 30,000 houses a year to meet the demand. But this thing where you have 100,000 one year and zero next year is
crazy
speculative.
Stuff.
Crazy.
And I mean, we've a dire need for is affordable social housing.
Absolutely.
If we're charging down the track of 3 and 4 and 500,000 pound mortgages for a 3-bedroom semi-detached house in Finglas or Phibsborough, it's going to be, we're just going back down the road well travelled.
Yeah.
One of the other things I wanted to touch on is there's been some major redevelopment of the Mata Hospital, especially on the North Circular Road side of it. Forgive me for not being 100% up to date. The Children's Hospital plan, is that gone?
Yeah, it appears to be gone. It appears to be out to James's.
Yeah.
And I would reckon the major problem that we had again was traffic.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, you've got a sick child, where do you go? Where can you park?
Mm-hmm.
They talked about bringing up a car park, but you haven't time. I mean, if your child is sick, you're not concerned about that. So you go to Dublin Trouble Park and get the child in.
Yeah.
And then you create a problem for the local community because our streets are so narrow.
Yeah.
Now, the same problem is going to be faced within James Hospital, once they wake up to the fact. The matter is being developed as a general hospital for the north side.
Yeah.
And as such, all we can do is keep an eye on it and make sure that it isn't overdeveloped.
Yeah,
because again, I mean, one of the reasons why we pay high pensions and high salaries to a DCC is to look out for these issues with respect to the future.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing that.
Yeah.
I wish they were.
Yeah. Well, we'll watch it, you know, we'll keep an eye on it, you know, because it's obviously important, as you say, Peter, that this is probably the thin end of the wedge here. You know, Fisbury is forced, as you say, maybe this what's going to happen in Fisbury is worth watching, because it could start happening in other areas. I mean, I'm from Finglas myself originally, and I mean, Finglas Village, as you probably know, is another hugely underdeveloped. I mean, it's virtually a ghost town now, Finglas Village. And there were plans up around there as well. So probably, yeah, it's important that people are keeping an eye on what happens down the Fisbury area. Because, I mean, I personally have a huge affiliation. I'm a big Bohemians fan. I have a huge affiliation down in Fisbury. Down there every other weekend and passing through. And, of course, we mentioned earlier on, I mean, the Daily Mount Parkside has, you know, it's been up in the air for a few years now, ever since the bust as well. So, I would personally like to see, as a soccer fan and somebody whose first memories of going to football matches was in a Daily Mount Park that was crammed to the rafters, you would certainly like to hope that there'd be some sort of survival possibility for Daily Mount Park too.
Well, it's, sorry Patrick, do you want to
say? Yeah, go ahead. Daily Mount Park probably hopefully will continue, but again, whilst the place may be packed to the rafters in future. From a local resident's point of view, how are you going to get the people away to and from that venue? And that is going to be, unfortunately, a key thing.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, one of the things that the last few years has taught me is that there is a complete lack of community facilities in Fisbury. In order to meet, we have to arrange venues in pubs.
Uh-huh.
It's just totally unsuitable.
Yeah. No, as you say, no community centres, no stuff like that.
No, absolutely. I mean, for instance, when the plan, you know, when they're having consultation sessions on the plan, if they were held in the Croke Park suites, which is outside the area for starters, and people had to be bussed down to them who didn't have their own transport. A scandalous thing that happened, the City Council put out an issues paper where they sort of asked people to respond. This is the first stage of the amendment process.
Yeah.
So they drew up an issues paper and asked people to respond. And they had drop-in sessions while the response period was open, where you could talk to planners and look at the various things. And one of them was actually held in a wheelchair inaccessible venue. You know, which is scandalous.
It's so incredible.
And if we wanted, you know, suppose we don't like what the amended plan comes out later this month. If we wanted to organise a large public meeting, where would we do it? There's almost nowhere. The old St. Peter's Hall used to be a venue that was available. It wasn't a great venue, but it was a sizable venue. And when the shopping centre redevelopment came out about 8 or 9 years ago, that the meetings were held there, and actually the developer came along and talked about the plans.
Yeah.
And when Daily Mount, the question of selling Daily Mount first arose, a meeting was held there to express concern and thrash it out. But that's gone, you know, that the school has been redesigned and redeveloped, and there isn't a hall there that's available to people to meet in. So there's nothing, you know, we have a library, that the old Carnegie Library, lovely building, but, you know, it's open, and you don't need to tattoo the hours on your wrist to know when it was open,
you know,
and then they changed them
as
soon as you've done it. You know, you never know when it's open or not open unless you've a, you know, phenomenal memory. You know, we really have very few facilities.
Yeah.
You know, you look around this, the north side civic centre here is, you know, we'd love one something like this. We'd love, you know, the sort of some of the facilities they've gone into Canberra, and those communities fully deserve it, but we, you know, we live
badly
in the city,
need it.
It's badly,
it's badly needed. Mm-hmm. Okay, James, well, I have to say it's been an education for me, and thank you very much for coming in. Mm-hmm. And we'll, as I said, we'll keep an eye on it, because it'd be interesting.
Please do, Mark.
I think you told me that you were invited to that meeting on the 9th of October, is it?
No, I haven't been invited to it, but I gather that there is going to be the Dublin City Council officials are going to tell all the councillors from the entire city just what they're proposing.
Okay.
Again, the council, there's been a huge change over in councillors with the election, and they've changed the boundaries.
Yeah.
The whole area used to be within the central area. Now it covers central area, northwest area.
Oh, okay.
You know, because you've got Cabra Fingers.
Cabra Fingers,
So it's quite a complex situation. But we have been, we've had a couple of meetings, although it's very, you know, the summer is not a great time to get people to meetings, councillors or anyone else. But we have had some very good meetings, and, you know, the councillors and the you know, the local community groups have been talking about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll be, you know, we'll have some of our groundwork laid for when these amended proposals come out.
Well, please keep in touch with us and let us know what the amendments are and what the plans are when they're announced, whether in around the start of October, because we'd love to talk to you again, because As you rightly said, and you know, it's worth keeping an eye on, because it may give an indication of how the planners in Dublin now are starting to think. You know, as you say, we have a new council; they're into a 5-year term. As we know, only to how things can change very quickly. You know, 5 years is a long time, and if as you say, it may give us an indication of where we're going, where everybody is going down the road. So Patrick Grant and Peter Murray, thanks very much for coming in and talking to us, and we look forward to talking to you again on Near FM. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.